New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Fires and completes it to Gronkowski. Touchdown!
We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open. 929-477-2386.
What's going on, Pats Nation? This is the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show brought to you by FanDuel. Join the CLNS Radio FanDuel League and compete amongst the hosts and the rest of the CLNS Radio family and fans at FanDuel.com/Patriots. We just got done with the Patriots versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati Bengals 17, New England Patriots 30. I am your host, Marvin is on, and I also got my co-host with me, Mr. Mike Nice.
Yes, sir, DJ Mees, what a game. Watching that game was like, you know, flicking a light switch, because it just started off with the Patriots, you know, just didn't know what was going on offensively, looked like they had some struggles on defense, and then all of a sudden, it's just like a flick of, snap of your fingers, the New England Patriots that we're used to watching came and they put in work, and they had a solid ending to this game, and they got the win at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, what a win. Can't be mad at walking away from this performance. Tom Brady did his thing. Rob Gronkowski. Oh, we're going to get into all of that on the postgame show for sure, DJ Mees.
Definitely. The Patriots move on to becoming 5-1, and we want to hear from you guys. The Blue Apron call lines are now open. Get 3 free meals with free shipping by simply going to blueapron.com/CelticsBeat. You can call in at 929-477-2386. Once again, that is 929-477-2386. And Mike, like you said, Patriots, it was a tale of two halves. First half, you know, the Patriots were really struggling, especially when it came to protecting Tom Brady. Tom Brady got hit a lot, didn't really get things moving. They only came out with like 10 points in the first half, mediocre game. And then in the second half, they flipped the switch. Brady says, towards the end of the second quarter, actually, during that two-minute drill, we scored that touchdown. And then threw on the Patriots just flipped the switch and really took over this game and never looked back.
Yeah, they never looked back at all. I mean, while watching that first half, it was looking like it was going to be a rough day for Tom Brady and the offense. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals were just getting to him. You know, they were getting hit, sacks left and right on Tom Brady. And you were just thinking, what is going on with the offense? What is going on with the offensive line? It wasn't looking good all around. But then you come out that third quarter, Patriots put up 15 points. And then fourth quarter, another 10 points. And then on top of that, you had the Bengals and Andy Dalton. They were starting to struggle. I mean, yeah, they were picking up, you know, yards down the field. A.J. Green was putting in work. Giovanni Bernard and Hill had solid games as well. Another guy, Boyd, and Brandon LaFell for the Bengals, you know, had some decent games. Our old friend LaFell finding the end zone. But for the most part, once again, like we always say, you could get so frustrated with this Patriots defense, the Patriots secondary, them not getting pressure on the quarterback, which is something we'll definitely get into throughout the show. But it's another situation where it's the bend but not break New England Patriots defense. And, you know, with that bend and not break mentality, they do that. But on top of that, you have Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things, throwing over 350 yards, 3 touchdown passes. What a game.
What a game. We also got our guy, Mike Alondra, who's working the switchboards right now. Mike, like we were saying, you know, tale of two halves, Patriots come out on top. What did you see in this game?
I totally agree. It was absolutely a tale of two halves. I said to myself in the first half, I said, wow, I mean, the offensive line looks like the offensive line from last year in, you know, against Denver when they were just getting just a swinging gate, just letting anybody by. You know, Patriots couldn't get anything going. Brady was getting hit, and he was getting hit hard. You know, he was getting knocked down, and he really wasn't looking good. And I said to myself again, I said, where's the two tight end attack? There was like no two tight end attack in the first half. Then the second half starts, and you got Gronk getting more involved. You have Martellus Bennett getting more involved. Gronkowski finishes with his most reception yards in his career. I think 162 yards, most in his career, has a touchdown. James White with a sneaky two touchdowns. Tom Brady was back, as we all assumed he would be. It just took a little longer to get going than normal. The first probably four or five drives, even that first drive coming out in the second half, the Patriots didn't really look like they were getting anything going. And then all of a sudden, like you guys said, it was like a light switch. It just flipped on, and the Patriots just were dominant.
Definitely. Absolutely. And Patriots definitely got bailed out a couple of times with Cincinnati just doing some boneheaded, you know, flags, stupid plays defensively that helped us out. And I feel like Cincinnati's always getting themselves in trouble, whether it's unsportsmanlike or holding at the wrong time. Just they're Cincinnati's way. They always mess up in the big moments. You know, you come out to New England, you're trying to, you got to play pretty much a perfect game to come out New England win. And they didn't really do that. They really folded in the second half compared to the first one. They were really, you know, rattling Brady, getting there. But I don't know, man. Burfitt, all those guys, they're all hotheads. They always get into fights. There's something wrong with Bengals. All the time I see it over and over and over again.
Yeah, it just seemed like they really started to shoot themselves in the foot towards the end of the game, just picking up these penalties, trying to get into fights and scuffles. I don't know if they were trying to get under, you know, LeGarrette Blount or Rob Gronkowski's skin by, you know, trying to just ruffle their feathers and just trying to get in their head. I don't know if that was their plan, but it definitely didn't work. And if you check the scoreboard, they're getting their ass kicked. So, I mean, I don't know what they were really trying to do, but Cincinnati messed up a lot. You know, even back early in the first quarter when it was fourth and goal, when they could have took the easy 3 points, they elected to try to go for it on fourth down. And, I mean, I guess I wouldn't be saying this right now if they picked it up. I guess it would have been a smart move. But at the same time, why just not – it's the first quarter. You're not playing with the game on the line. This is not a win or the game's over situation. It's the first quarter. Take your 3 points and get ready for the kickoff. You know what I'm saying? But
I hear that a lot.
That's the difference between a Cincinnati Bengals team and a New England Patriots team.
And you see a lot of plays like that. You know, teams going for fourth down in times when they shouldn't, or doing some weird plays when they face the Patriots. I think it's the intimidation that Bill Belichick brings, that they do some wild plays. Like, I always think about the Colts last year when they did. You remember that weird formation that they brought up? And you just ask yourself, like, why would you do a play like that? I think all that has to do with Bill Belichick. You know, coaches overthink too hard and they get intimidated. But once again, you know, the Blue Apron call lines are now open. Call in at 929-477-2386. That's 929-477-2386. We got our guy Nick from Tampa. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. Right. Doing good. Just watched that great game, but want to get your thoughts on how you thought today's matchup went against the Bengals.
Well, first I want to give a big shout-out. I was listening to the intro, Don't Sweat the Technique, an old-school classic. I'm guessing that was DJ Mees, since his name is a DJ. I guess that's DJ Mees' choice, but I'm not sure. I run the switchboard sometimes for the Celtics post-game show, and I clicked the other night the promo for y'all's show, and I hear Broccoli, the instrumental to Broccoli, yep, in the background. So good music choice. I like the music choice that y'all have on your show. So just wanted to give a big shout out, big props to that. My big thing, and y'all covered basically pretty much, you know, the basics of, you know, the game. I don't see the point of trying to get under the Patriots' skin. We're a very disciplined team. It's not going to happen. Vontae is perfect. I don't know what he thinks he's doing, trying to mess with Gronkowski, because that's just not a good move. I don't know what they're trying to do messing with LeGarrette Blount. They must not have seen him play at Oregon when he got the KO on one of the Boise State
the
players.
Blount punch.
The Blount punch, exactly. He's known for, you know, for just laying the wood on people, just knocking people out. This is not going to happen. But the thing that I wanted to mention, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, is do you think that Gostkowski will be our kicker next season?
I'm done with Gostkowski. I tell you, Nick, I'm done with that guy. I've seen enough. We don't play that here in New England. We don't play that. the kickers that we've had, whether it's been the early Gostkowski, who we're all used to, who was pretty much automatic, and then you go back to the kicker before that in Adam Vinatieri, we don't play this inconsistency nonsense here in New England. We want a kicker that's going to get the job done when his name's called upon. And so far, to this point in time in the season, Gostkowski's been really chopped. He's been really sad out there. You can never, you don't know whether his kicks are going in or not nowadays. So I don't know what his contract's looking like, but Gostkowski start hitting the market to see if house is available in other places, man.
Let me say this about Gostkowski. I mean, do I think this is his last year here? Not necessarily. Would I be shocked if it is? No, I wouldn't be shocked. Like you said, Mike, Patriots, we don't do that around here. You start messing up a couple times that you can find yourself on the bench or finding yourself a new job. But Gostkowski has done so much for this team. I still think they could try to stick him around. It's still early in the season. We'll see if he can pull through. I mean, if he turns up late in the playoffs into the end of the season, hit some game winners, I think we'll all forget about the early missed field goals that he's missing right now.
What do y'all think about Malcolm Butler? Do you think he's still an elite or should be considered in the elite corner category? I saw a couple of plays where he just, you know, straight got burnt today by AJ Green. I think he missed one on Brandon LaFell. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good corner. He's not a good corner for us. But last season we heard a lot about Butler being considered, you know, maybe in the elite corner category. And I think you can kind of take his name out of the elite corner category this year. Do you agree, disagree?
I mean, when it comes to Malcolm Butler, I don't see him as in the Patrick Peterson categories or guys like that. But at the same time, I like him better than I take most cornerbacks in the league. I think he's done a solid job this season. One thing that DJ Mees and myself have always went back and forth about was just the fact that the Patriots didn't give him the contract extension or new contract in the offseason. You know, I personally felt that the Patriots said, you know, to Malcolm Butler, you know, we saw what you did last season. You got all pro, Pro Bowl selection, whatever the case may be. But before we give you this money, duplicate that, and then we can really talk business and see if you're a cornerback that we want to have around here long term that we'll give big money to. That's just my opinion. The season's still early. Has he been terrible? No, but has he been one of the elite in the league? I don't think so, but he's doing the best he can for a secondary that's pretty much struggled all season long, in my opinion.
Yeah, I never really saw him as a elite cornerback. I think with Malcolm Butler, you get what you see from him, you know what I'm saying? And he's always going to be a player who really works hard. He's going to try to, like they were saying earlier today, if you were watching, he's really good at stripping the ball, fighting to get the ball out. He's scrappy. He's in your face. But he's not athletically gifted. You know, he doesn't have any really special skills in that cornerback set, but he works hard and he fits perfectly with what the Patriots want and in the Patriots system. So I think he could succeed in another team as he is with us. No, I don't think so. I think he's perfect for our system, and he's a good cornerback, but I don't think he's elite or he will reach that elite level.
Agree. And he'll always have that the interception in the Super Bowl, so we got to give him that. I mean, that'll be something that'll stay around with him until, you know, his old age. We'll always remember that. Just a couple of other things. I like the fact, you know, the Patriots came out in the second half and corrected their errors. They came in and they made some adjustments, came back and really, you know, took it to the Bengals. I think a lot of it, like you guys already said, the Bengals shot themselves in the foot. Once the Patriots win, that's my first, you know, priority, watching the Patriots, make sure the Patriots get their win. And then I kind of just like to look around the rest of the league and see what's going on. We saw the Broncos lose to the Chargers the other day, so that was great. They're now 4-2. So the Bills, they blew out San Francisco. I don't know how good the Bills really are this year. I hope that when we play them again in a couple of weeks that, you know, we really get some revenge. Miami beat the Steelers, which I think was good because Miami doesn't really seem like a threat at all. and the Steelers may be or were considered, I think, coming into the season as possibly a threat in the AFC.
Definitely.
So watching the Steelers go down was a good thing. And then the Jets play at Arizona on Monday, and I think, you know, hopefully Arizona can, you know, take out the Jets so we can maintain not only a lead in the AFC East, but also in the AFC in general. I believe we're at the top of the AFC conference right now, and I think it should stay that way. I think that we should probably be considered favorites throughout the rest of the season. What do you guys think?
I mean, when it comes to the game, especially with the Bills today, I saw their game. They got a good, huge win. LeSean McCoy had a solid game. But I feel like they played the 49ers, and the 49ers suck. I don't care. I don't care if it's Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. I don't care if it's Colin Kaepernick. They have a lot of problems over there from offense, defense, coaching staff, organization, whatever the case may be. They're a problem right now. So Bills got to win today. A win is a win, but at the same time, anybody can beat the 49ers, I feel like. What about you, Marv? What do you think?
I think we're there. I think Bills so far, you know, the schedule hasn't been that tough on them. They lost that early, too. They got a win against the Patriots, but I don't see them being a huge threat. I mean, San Francisco is not really a great team that you can worry about. Steelers, offensively, they're a juggernaut. And I know that Miami really slowed them down today, but, you know, Ben Roethlisberger was hurt for part of the game. But I really, you know, Steelers is a team you're going to have to be careful about, especially when you have trouble getting to the quarterback, as we're still showing signs of, you know, I know Hightower played out of his mind today, but we're still showing signs of struggling to get to the quarterback. Still is a team that could hurt you, but I believe that the Patriots are doing just fine, you know, top of the leaderboard. I don't think Oakland Raiders are going to get the number one seed in the AFC, and I think we're going to be just perfectly fine on the top seed. And this time it'll go as we imagined compared to last year when Broncos got the number one seed, and we saw how that went. But, Nick, thank you very much for calling in. Your insight is always, always needed. And you brought a lot of great topics that we're going to definitely tackle as we continue.
Thanks,
thank
Nick.
Thank you, and thanks for that music, the intro music. It brought me back to the old days.
All right,
big up to y'all.
Appreciate all right, no problem, man. We're still going to rock the old school, you know, let the youth know about that a little bit. Fantasy football fans, if you're only playing season-long fantasy football, you're missing out. Put your skills to the test this week for a chance to win cash in FanDuel's one-week fantasy football contest. FanDuel, just choose your contest, pick your team, and win. Contests for beginners or bigger tournaments for more experienced players. Leagues start at just $1, and setting up a lineup is easy. Cash prizes paid out every single week, and this week, don't miss FanDuel Sunday Million Dollar Tournament, paying out at least $1 million cash prizes. Mike, how's your fantasy team looking this week, bro?
Doing all right. You know, started off slow, but starting to pick it up with these 4 o'clock, 4:25 games coming around. Should kick it into high gear for sure.
Definitely. I picked up Odell Beckham, and I tell you, Beckham went off. 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, 8 receptions.
Sheesh.
He's back. So definitely, you know, try it out, people. This is for real. Think you know fantasy football? Just prove it. Try FanDuel now and get up to $50 in free entries. New users who deposit will get 5 free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contest. Valued at up to $50, you'll get 1 free entry a week for 6 weeks. For 5 weeks, excuse me. Value of free entries varies based on deposit amounts. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my promo code Patriots. That's FANDUEL.com. Promo code Patriots. Void where prohibited. Yeah, Odell is doing did monster numbers for me this week, and I hopefully that pans out to some cash moolah.
I hear that for sure.
Now we're going to move on to our segment with Harris Rubenstein. Harris Rubenstein of the Patriots Beat podcast, which is released first thing every Friday morning on CLNSradio.com and CLNS Radio mobile app. Harris, Patriots 35, Cincinnati Bengals 17. Patriots are 5-1 now. How do you think we're looking out there?
They looked. This game went almost exactly as I expected it to. I mean, you know, if you remember last season, a lot of the time, this Patriots team kind of got off to a slow start, and I definitely think that is something that needs to be looked at in the next couple weeks. But I mean, you know, sure they struggled a little bit on defense in the first half. They are still struggling on third downs. But I mean, you know, again, like just look at the scoreboard. You know, 35-17 again, holding the opposing team under 20 points. I believe they've done that now for 4 out of the 6 weeks of the season. And, you know, just the defense played well, offense played well. The tight ends, when they're on the same when they're on the field at the same time, are dominating. Gronk sets a career high for yardage. Brady returns to Gillette Stadium with a triumphant win over, you know, this basically ends the Bengals season. They're 2-4. I mean, you know, a 2-4 team that just looks dead and uninspired. So, I don't know. This is about as good a win as you could ask in Tom Brady's return back to Gillette Stadium.
What you just said about the Cincinnati Bengals is so true. I don't know what is it going to take for Marvin Lewis to get fired from that team. I don't know. But with the performance anyway, one thing that really, you know, surprised us was not really surprising, but it's been a somewhat constant problem sometimes with the Patriots is their protection of Tom Brady. And it's one thing I've harped on over the years, especially when you have an aging quarterback. The Patriots need to invest more, whether it be trades, free agency, draft, whatever the case may be. The Patriots need to do more to invest in trying to protect Brady. And what we saw today, I mean, fortunate for the team, Brady still had a dominant performance and was able to lead the team to a win. But when you have a 39-year-old quarterback, him taking all these hits, it's not going to benefit what you're trying to get done here. So how do you feel when it comes to the offensive line and them trying to do that in terms of protecting Brady?
Well, to be totally honest, I think they just got a little bit overwhelmed by the fact that this is really the first – I mean, the Buffalo is a good defensive line kind of when they played them. But, you know, this Bengals defensive line is still very good. You know, Geno Atkins, Pat Sims, Carlos Dunlap is historically underrated. Michael Johnson's a great DN. They have a good defensive line. I mean, I think they got attacked a little bit. I think Shaq Mason probably played his worst game of the season today. David Andrews wasn't looking good. But one thing they do need to invest in that they are missing a lot this year is a pass-protecting running back. James White cannot stop the pass for anything. He's a terrible pass blocker. It's mostly because he's so small. But then I look at Darren Sproles, who's one of the best pass-blocking running backs in the NFL. So we keep, you know, I keep starting to see rumors about the trade deadline coming around. Don't be surprised if they make a move for a pass protection running back. I mean, Brandon Bolden usually has that role, but with him being out, James White is just terrible, and LeGarrette Blount is terrible at it too. So Brandon Bolden's injury is extreme. Don't be surprised if they make a move to try to fill in that hole. But besides that, I think from an offensive standpoint, you still have to be pretty happy with what you did today, especially since everyone came into this game pretty banged up.
Now, I love what you brought up with Brandon Bolden, because Brandon Bolden was – I was just going to say before you even mentioned that, Brandon Bolden was that guy who, you know, was our pass protector. So it will be interesting to see if we do make a trade. And, I mean, there are some running backs that – running backs this year have been getting cut left and right. So, you know, there could be some players out there available too, even in free agency. I want to speak quickly on Gronk and Bennett. You know, another big game from both of them. Together, they have, 12 receptions, 200 yards, a touchdown, and 14 targets. They both led the team in targets and receptions. So you really know that Brady's looking at these two, especially in the second half. What are you seeing with Gronk and Bennett? And is this unstoppable? Is any team going to be able to stop these two tandems?
Well, I think we saw with Gronkowski that in the first half he was still feeling very unwell from whatever sickness. And I think they gave him maybe some sort of medicine. Maybe they gave him an IV to get him more hydrated. But whatever they gave him in the locker room in the second half, just, you know, he exploded, career high in yardage. He was yapping it perfect and Adam Jones all game. I mean, you know, Bengals, classic Bengals, trying to take cheap shots at Bennett's knees, knowing that he was coming into this game with an ankle injury. So, you know, it's just pretty typical Bengals is what I'm talking about here. But, you know, they eventually, after a slow first half, you know, once we saw Bennett and Gronk on the field at the same time, they just had no clue what to do from a defensive covering standpoint. The Bengals have very slow linebackers. Carlos Dansby and Perfect are very, very slow in coverage. So once you get Gronkowski, the gazelle, and Bennett out there, it's pretty hard to cover those guys with two slow linebackers.
When you look at this team's defense, Dante Hightower had a solid game today. It seemed like he was everywhere. He finished the game with 13 tackles, and you had that big sack that led to the safety. How do you feel about, you know, fortunately Jamie Collins wasn't on the field today, but when you get these two guys on the field, it could be you could get a solid 1-2 punch from these guys. I mean, how do you feel that those two progressed throughout the season?
Well, it's kind of disappointing that in the last 18 games, we've only been able to see Collins and Hightower on the field 8 times. And, you know, Ben Volin mentioned this when he came on the podcast this past week, talking about how if you just, you know, it's hard to realize how humongous of a human being Dante Hightower is, because he stands next to Jamie Collins, who is somehow an even bigger human being. But Dante Hightower is basically a 4-3 defensive end playing linebacker. I mean, he's so strong. He's just so powerful. And I think the first game of the season, we see him tweak that knee injury, misses a couple weeks. Then the week he came back against the Bills, he could not run at all. And then last week you saw him kind of get back into form. But I think this was the first week where we really saw a healthy 26-year-old now Dante Hightower entering his prime. And, like, again, it's aggravating that we keep seeing Collins on the field and then Hightower's on the field. One of them does sick when the other one's gone, and it's annoying that they can't do as well when they're both on the field. But I don't think that's a thing. But at the same time, you know, Collins is going to be back next week. We don't really know where this hip injury came from. I think it just kind of happened on Friday, and they're like, we don't want to push him. We don't have to, especially since Landon Roberts has been nuts these past couple weeks. But, you know, once they both come back and are both healthy, again, this defense is amazing, but they need to work on their third downs. They had this problem last year, and they're having the problem again where they just cannot get off the field on third down. And it almost lost them the game today in the first half, but luckily the red zone defense finally did something that wasn't give up copious amounts of touchdowns.
Definitely. A great spark, I believe, in the offense this week was James White. He's been stepping up a lot this year, even when LeGarrette Blount was going crazy rushing. This week, you know, 8 receptions, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns. He even ran it a little bit with 7 carries for 20 yards. Is James White showing that we don't need Deion Lewis at the moment right now? Is he really proving that he can be that pass-catching back who can also run it in a little bit as well?
Well, it really depends on what week it is, because, I mean, this is, you know, last week against the Browns, James White plays a really good game, and then I kind of disagree. You know, he had those 2 pretty easy touchdowns in the red zone where they just lost track of the running back. But my same problem with James White is that, you know, he can't run the ball. You said it yourself, 7 carries for 20 yards. This is a guy who, whenever he tries to run between the tackles, first time you make contact with him, he just falls over. So many times they would just whack at him. He'd just fall over after 2 or 3 yards. It was so aggravating. But again, you see what happens when you get him into open space. So the annoying thing is that he's not Shane Vereen, and I wish he was Shane Vereen, because what Shane Vereen was so good at doing was those draw plays on third and 6 and get a first down. He was great at running the ball on a second and long and getting you 6 yards. But you give the ball to James White, and he's going to fall over once a defensive lineman kind of, you know, pokes him in the chest. It's kind of aggravating, but it does prove that they can wait a little bit longer with Deion Lewis. I don't think they're in a big position to, like, really play him, like, to kind of force him out of his injury. But we'll see. I think James White's playing fine enough that they can wait on Deion Lewis.
Yeah, you can see that LeGarrette Blount's taking those third down runs when it comes to those moments. You know, Woodhead, Vereen, those guys are really good at draw plays, like you mentioned. Hey, we want to thank you, Harris, for coming in. You know, we love your segment, always bringing in some great insight. Thank you for calling in. We will hear from you next week.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you letting me come on.
Thanks, man.
Definitely, man. That's Harris Rubenstein of the Patriots Beat Podcast here on the CLNS Radio. Our segment with Harris was brought to you by FanDuel. Join our CLNS Radio Patriots FanDuel League. Compete amongst all the personalities at CLNS Radio, including Harris, myself, Mr. Mike Nice, Larry H. Russell. Come out on top. Win huge cash prizes every single week at CLNS Radio FanDuel League. To join, go to FanDuel.com/Patriots. That's FanDuel.com/Patriots. Mike, James White, 2 touchdowns, 8 receptions. He's really coming into his own. We said this last week, and this week, you know, he proved it again. He's really getting there to being that consistent catch and running back that we've been looking for.
The thing with James White, and I'll agree with what Harris said 100%. Pass catch, I like James White a lot. I think he's a great pass catching back. You know, Tom Brady seems to has a bond with him, and they have a connection now. We're really seeing them, you know, make plays happen during the game. But like Harris said, you know, yes, the offensive line, we expect them to do a great job in protecting Brady. But when you have a running back in there, whether it's LeGarrette Blount, whether it's James White, their job sometimes is to pick up those blitzers who are coming in. And James White has done a terrible job at doing that. LeGarrette Blount has done a terrible job at doing that, and that it's showcased today a lot. When Brady was getting hit, got sacked a couple times, Brady was getting beat up. So as great as James White is doing what he's doing, you know, being a pass catching back, you have to be able to help, you know, you got to be able to help the offensive line out, help Tom Brady out, and be able to pick up those blitzers and pick up those pass rushers who are coming in. Because if you can't do that, you know, as much as you're helping the team offensively, you're also hurting it by letting, you know, Tom Brady get beat up back there. And it's not just James White. It's a whole team issue. And I've said this over the years, and I'll say it over and over again. When you got a quarterback like Tom Brady, who's 39 years old, a guy who he's not a Cam Newton, he's not a Russell Wilson, he's not going to scramble out the pocket and pick up big yards down the field with his legs. You know, he'll get a couple of those random 5-10-yard runs, maybe give you a little dance at the end or whatever the case may be. But Brady's not going to move. Usually, you know, Brady sees the pass rushers come, he's just going to take the hit and he's just going to lay down the floor and just take the sack because, you know, that's not who he is. And us in New England, we're fine with that. You know, we've accepted over the years that that's how Tom Brady plays, and we're fine with it because we know when Tom Brady gets the ball in the pocket, he's a surgeon in there and be able to kill teams down the field. But with an aging quarterback and a quarterback who's not mobile, you have to do everything you can to protect the guy. And, I mean, I know this offseason they brought back Dante Starnecchia to work with the offensive line. And, yeah, you can have a coach who work with different techniques and whatnot with the guys, but you have to have the players, too, who can also do it. I know one guy you hate for sure is Marcus Cannon. You feel like he's a bum, and you've been preaching that for a while now. But I'll continue to say it over and over again. You want the Patriots to do well. You want Tom Brady to lead this team, you know, week in, week out, you know, as far as we can, AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, playoff, whatever the case may be. With this guy, 39 years old, as good as he is, you need to get him the best protection possible. Tom Brady's 39. Yes, we all know he's getting older. But there's nothing about the way Tom Brady plays that says he's slowing down. And if you can just get this guy the weapons, which he obviously has this year, all he needs is the protection, and Tom Brady will be great for years to come.
New England Patriots 35, Cincinnati 17. Tom Brady has 782 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, and no interceptions in the first 2 games of the season. And per the Elias Sports Bureau, he is the first to hit all 3 of those thresholds in the first 2 games of a season. So if you think Tom Brady is not playing with a chip on his shoulder, you are highly mistaken. He's out for blood. He's came out and just been playing perfect football. Perfect. You couldn't ask for anything more from Tom Brady right now. I'm honestly kind of shocked of how well he's playing. He's just been straight up amazing these past 2 weeks. His numbers this week, 29 for 35, 376 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Tom Brady's a force, Marv. Tom Brady's a force. And, I mean, when he came back from suspension and he played in that first game, and you saw how he was just cerebral out there. And even in today's game, you know, obviously the first half is kind of rough, but even in today's game, the guy was just he was just a robot making plays. And just imagine if there was no suspension, you know, this is the Tom Brady that you would have had from week one. You know, obviously, yeah, people are saying he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, this whole Deflategate, whatever, pissed off at the league, Roger Goodell. Yeah, that adds in a lot to it. But with that or without that, Tom Brady's still the same competitor he's been since he came into the league back in 2000. And with the weapons that he has, Gronkowski, Bennett, Edelman, Hogan, Amendola, if he was doing this from week one, DJ Meese, we're undefeated right now. We're five. What are we? 6-0, 5-0.
We'll be 6-0.
6-0, right now, DJ Meese. I'll put my life on. We would be six. The Patriots would be 6-0 right now if you had Tom Brady from the start of the season with this with the offense that he has, and knowing who Tom Brady is, the Patriots would be 6-0 right now.
I mean, definitely coming into preseason, we were saying that this could be one of the best offenses, if not the best offense the Patriots have had in a very, very long time. And we also thought that was going to be equipped with a great defense, you know, number one defense as well. But, you know, not everything's going out perfectly with the defense. But Patriots are out there putting up points, and they're making it look easy, 35-17. I mean, Harris said it. We only held the Bengals to 17 points, another game where they're under 20. So as much as the Patriots have had their struggles on defense, A.J. Green did get his. It didn't matter. Only 17 points. And everyone's just got to, you know, relax a little. Like you were mentioning earlier, that's the bend, don't break defense.
Absolutely. That's all you can ask for. I mean, would you want your defense to go out there and be, you know, locked down, first and turnovers left and right, and sacks every time? You know, do you want your defense to be solid like that and put in work? But at the same time, you know, the Patriots, as much as we hate that they can't get pressure on the quarterback, as much as we hate that we see the secondary give up some big plays down the field, the Patriots' defense has done exactly what we've been saying, bend, not break. They haven't given up the big plays, you know, in close games, you know, the big yardage to really have games come down to the wire. Especially with Tom Brady back, I'm sure that the Patriots will be solid, and, you know, the defense will just have to do just enough to keep them in games and hopefully lead the Patriots to some victories.
Want to give a quick shout out to today's sponsors, Blue Apron and Casper. Blue Apron is a great service with fresh ingredients right to your doorstep for fun to cook meals with and for your family and friends. Trust me, they're delicious and they cost to less than $10 per meal. And you get the first three meals free and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/CelticsBeat. Also, Casper's mattress is made with latex and memory foam. You can get it and try it out for free in your first 100 days. If you don't like it, send it back. Go to casper.com/Celtic and enter promo code Celtics. And you also get $50 off your first mattress purchase. We'd love if everyone, if they had interest, would use these promo codes, as it is a way to help support what we're doing here at CLNS Radio. Now we're about to enter our segment with Tyler Trudeau. Tyler Trudeau, CLNS Radio video correspondent, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. Tyler, how's it going, man? Patriots 35, Cincinnati 17. Gronk was out of his mind. Brady being Brady. What did we see out there?
Well, let me tell you, I'm really happy about Gronk for finally showing up today to help my fantasy team out. But other than that, it was an absolutely spectacular game. I was so happy after that very slow first half. I was very concerned about how they would show up in the second half, and they really just took the game over. The momentum completely changed as soon as that safety happened by Hightower, which was an excellent play. He had a great game, and again, the defense really struggling but still managing to keep a team under 20 points. And what a way for Brady to come back to Gillette Stadium. I mean, just absolutely, when Bennett and Gronkowski just absolutely tore them apart the entire second half. And if it wasn't for that personal foul called where he almost got ejected, I think Gronk's getting that next ball and he's catching it. And we're seeing another spike today. It was an excellent game by the Patriots.
What are your thoughts on Steven Gostkowski and how he's been, you know, throughout the course of the season so far? Very, I want to say inconsistent. I mean, he's made some cakes. He's missed some cakes. Inconsistent is the word I'm looking for. You know, this is not the guy that we've gotten accustomed to seeing over the last couple of years. And then you come into this season and he's just, it's like you don't know what to expect from him after being such an automatic guy throughout the first couple of years in the league. What are your thoughts on him and how he's played so far?
I mean, it's really disappointing, but at the same exact time, it hasn't been a problem yet. Obviously, he's missed some late field goals in games that could have resulted in a game loss, but it hasn't yet. So we truly, the Patriot fans can't truly complain, but there's going to be a time late in game we're going to need him. And we, the Patriots are not as confident with him as they should be. He's been extremely inconsistent, but I have a theory that maybe since he started this whole bad stretch last year when he missed that point after, maybe he's going to go on an absolute run from now on and like show that consistency after the missed point after today. But it wouldn't surprise me if this is the last time we see him, even if he doesn't cause a game to be the difference if he misses a field goal late. I mean, if he comes back and just hits everything from now till the end of the season, Patriots fans will forget and we'll see him back next year. But he's missed far too many field goals for anyone to be confident that it's going to change anytime soon.
I agree. I mean, it's been, even when he kicked that last field goal, you kind of cringed a little bit because even that, you weren't even really sure that that was even going to go in. As Patriots fans right now, we're going to be on the edge of our seats anytime we see Gostkowski kick for a little bit until he's proved that he's back in rhythm. My question for you, Tyler, is the Patriots defense, as we've been saying, you know, bend, don't break. But I want to know, what is the is this the potential, what we're seeing with the Patriots defense? Is this what is going to be all year? Or could we actually see more that we envision with Collins, with Hightower, if McCourty and Logan Ryan, the secondary, can step it up a bit? Or is this what we're going to get pretty much? This is what we're going to see week by week? Or can this defense get better?
I think this defense can definitely get better. I was very impressed with one play with Eric Rowe where he just got a fingertip on the ball in the end zone to stop A.J. Green from getting a touchdown. I think that shows promise because I believe this was his first game, or this is the first time he actually has made an impact on a game, and of course the Patriots made the trade for him with the Eagles earlier this year. Hopefully he's young and has a lot of potential. Maybe he's a person that's going to step up when the secondary hasn't been stepping up, but Collins and Hightower barely having played with each other on the field at the same exact time, I think this defense can definitely rally behind both of them coming back at the same time to be able to really put pressure on the quarterback, which is something the Patriots have struggled with, even with the safety today. And Logan Ryan, I always just hear announcers say that, oh, Logan Ryan was doing everything he could, and he just, like, receivers just must get lucky around Logan Ryan because they just catch everything, it seems like, even if he's all over them like peanut butter on bread. It's just I don't understand how these players catch these balls with him right there. I don't know if it's because he's not as good as the Patriots believe he is, but he seems like he's really doing a great job pass covering, and just they still wind up catching the ball somehow. But someone needs to step up, but I definitely think that this defense hasn't seen its best days yet. I definitely think it has another level. And honestly, if it comes down to this defense that we're seeing now, I would still take it. No one's really been able to score more than 20 points against this team. So we will see what happens later in the season if the tougher teams are going to be able to break this defense that has been inconsistent at times, or maybe they can step up.
Continuing what you're saying about the defense, through these first six games, how would you assess Malcolm Butler's performance so far? Is he? Would you say he's, you know, continuing, you know, right where he left off after last season? Would you say he's, you know, his performance has taken a step back? Where do you see him right now after 6 weeks of the season?
I feel like Malcolm Butler has always been slightly overrated just because of the one big career that no one will ever be able to forget. And I do think he is a very talented cornerback, but I think ever since that interception, everyone has immediately jumped to, oh, he is an elite corner in this league. He is a, like, threat to be
the
quarterback
next
every single time he throws. Yeah, exactly. People have labeled him to be the next coming of the next premier cornerback in the league, and that's just not who he is. He's a great cornerback. He's better than most. He definitely would be the best on a lot of teams' rosters if Malcolm Butler is on other teams, but he is not just the top cornerbacks in the league. He is not within that class. Maybe he will come to that, but I really don't think he is at that level where we can consider him an elite. He tries hard. He works hard. Again, the secondary is really struggling. Maybe he'll step it up, but yeah, he has definitely taken a step back from last year, I think, and maybe that's just early season struggles that he's still working out. Maybe it's just unluckiness like our friend Logan Ryan has, but Malcolm Butler is definitely a solid cornerback that I'm comfortable with the Patriots putting out there consistently, and if he keeps on slacking, then obviously the Patriots will move on, because that's what the Patriots do. If you don't do your job, you're not going to have a job for much longer. So
damn right.
I think
damn
he'll
right.
turn it around.
Switching to the offense a little bit, a guy that we haven't brought up, and we really haven't really mentioned his name all season, is Julian Edelman. And I'm looking at, you know, his stats right now. Over the past, you know, starting with, I'll say, the Thursday night game against Houston, he has 4 receptions. Then with Bills, 1 reception. Cleveland, 5 receptions for 30 yards. And then this game, he had 4 receptions for 30 yards. Julian Edelman's, you know, impact in the game has dipped a little bit this year. I don't know whether it's due to his previous injury, age, or because of the emergence of Bennett and White and Hogan as well, cutting into his targets and receptions. Do you think it's a little combination of both, or is Edelman just not the same player he used to be?
I don't think we've seen enough evidence to say that Edelman isn't the same player. I feel like, one, the best game he's had all season was the Arizona game with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he looked exactly like the same player, and of course, 5 games into the season, you're probably going to be slowed down. You're not going to be feeling as good as you were week one. But at the same exact time, I really just think that's mostly benefiting from the extremely powerful offense that the Patriots have. Obviously, for 2 weeks, Jacoby Brissett was barely throwing at all, let alone to Julian Edelman, who really has developed a career on having such good timing with Tom Brady. And now that Brady's been back for 2 games, even though he hasn't targeted him as much, I still just think it's because when you have the 2 tight ends that can just eat any defensive live, what he's just going for, because it's the best option to have. And I think we'll definitely see Julian Edelman be the Julian Edelman we have come accustomed to see. But I really just find it as a high power offense stepping up that he isn't as dependent. Because last year it was Gronk and Edelman. And if there was one of them was out, you just saw how much this offense suffered. But now that they have Hogan, who had a great game last week, not really mentioned too much this week, Martellus Bennett has been huge, and Gronk, as always, is finally starting to show the player that he can be. I just really think it has to do with the high-power offense that the Patriots have right now. And James White, wow, what an amazing game he had today. He was kind of looking like Deion Lewis out there, and I think when Deion Lewis comes back, that's just going to give the Patriots more firepower and more options and be able to keep 2 guys like White and Blunt and Lewis fresh all at times. They're going to definitely maybe turn around this so-so running game that the Patriots have.
Definitely. It's just weird, you know, being a New England Patriots fan and not seeing Julian Edelman have a huge impact on the field these past couple of weeks because, like you mentioned, with all this high-powered offense and the new incoming players that we got. But, Tyler, man, thank you very much for calling in. Always appreciated, and we'll definitely hear from you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much
for having me.
Thanks, Tyler. Thank you. Bye. Yep, that was Tyler Trudeau, CLNS radio video correspondent. Follow him on Twitter at CLNS_Tyler. Head on over to the CLNS radio YouTube channel for Tyler's pregame video as well as midweek report. Subscribe at youtube.com/CLNS radio. That's youtube.com/CLNS radio. And what about you, Mike? Did you see anything with Julian Edelman? Is it just me? Am I paranoid? I feel like he looks a step slower this year than compared to the other years. But I don't know. Maybe it's just me not getting used to Edelman getting 10 receptions a game.
It's just that Brady, and I mean, well, you can't really say off the quarterbacks through the first 3-4 weeks because they weren't, you know, the Patriots' real quarterback like Brady. But I feel like the reason why Edelman's probably not being as productive as he has been over the last couple of years is just because, you know, like you mentioned, the Patriots have more options this year. You know, Gronkowski's always been a force, but now you add in Bennett. Now you have Hogan. Now you still have Amendola. James White is still solid. The Patriots have options, and it's no longer Brady having to force it to Gronk and Edelman, and that's the only two guys he can pass to. The ball can be easily spread around now because you have guys who can be productive. This is not, you know, Aaron Dobson and Kembrell Tompkins and other guys who've come and gone over the last couple of years. You have solid players, and I don't feel like Edelman has lost a step at all. I just feel that it's, like I said, there are options. And that's all we've really asked for in the Patriots offense. Get Brady weapons so he can work. And now you have weapons this season. Bennett, Hogan, Amendola still there. That's the reason why. So, I mean, yes, Edelman won't put up the crazy damn near Wes Welker numbers that he put up the last couple of seasons, but he's still a huge part of this offense, and he's still a guy that Tom Brady will depend upon to pick up a couple yards here and there.
Yeah, all right, mate. I feel a lot better. You guys calmed me down. With the high-power offense, it definitely makes a lot more sense. MyBookie.ag is focused around providing a unique, personalized, stress-free gaming experience for each and every one of our clients, no matter if you play on sports, casino games, or horse racing. MyBookie also offers its players incentives in the form of the best daily bonuses and special promotions. What are you waiting for? Open and fund your account today with MyBookie and start winning with the best. Go to MyBookie.ag and use promo code PATCH to get 100% bonus on the first deposit. Basically, whatever you deposit, MyBookie will match. Check out MyBookie AG mobile platform and start enjoying the safety and convenience of an at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today, and you'll never miss another winning bet. Again, go to MyBookie.ag and use promo codes PATS to get 100% bonus on your first deposit. And now let's enter our Around the NFL presented by MyBookie. What's going on in the NFL right now? So you have Oakland at home against Kansas City. Oakland, surprisingly, Mike, is 4-1 right now. They're trying, you know, be on top of the AFC, battling with the Patriots. And right now, Kansas City is winning 13-7, so we support that.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have Seattle, a good game. I would love to see this game. You know, the high-powered Atlanta Falcons goes to Seattle facing the Seahawks. So right now, Seahawks are winning 7-0. Then Dallas at Green Bay. Dak Prescott, the rookie. You know, there might be some quarterback controversy coming soon over there, man.
Can't wait for that.
Tony Romo coming back soon in a couple of weeks, and Dak Prescott's just been balling. Especially if they win against Green Bay, Mike. I don't know what you're going to do.
Seven to three
right now, Dallas. And then later on tonight, you have the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans, two disappointing teams. The disappointing Colts and the disappointing Houston Texans face off tonight. Just a bunch of sorries, in my opinion.
True.
Yeah, so that's what's going on right now around the NFL. So,
you know,
Mike, go ahead.
You know what I was just looking at, DJ Mees?
The
fact that we keep talking about this bend but not break Patriots defense, and I just came across the fact that coming into this week, the Patriots sat fourth in terms of points given up per game with only 14.8 points a game. Patriots coming into this game are only giving up 14.8 points a game. That's pretty damn good. But at the same time, coming into this week, the Patriots are sitting 24th in terms of sacks. So what, like, wait. I'm looking at, like, you give up 14 points a game, which is pretty low. You know, you give up 14 points a game, you have Tom Brady, you're probably going to win. But then you only have how many coming into this week? They only have 9 sacks on the season. It's rough. It's really rough, DJ Mees. We get so mad each week how the Patriots can't get at the quarterback. The Patriots secondary, Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler, sometimes look like they're struggling. They have no pass rush, but they only give up 14 points a game.
It definitely does not make any sense. That's the Patriots way. Let's enter our segment with Charles Russick and see what he thinks. You know, Charles Ruckett, Patriots beat staff writer on the CLNSradio.com. What's going on, Charles? Patriots win 35-17. What did you see out there?
I saw a team that looked like they're really starting to hit their stride today. I was pretty impressed with the defense because I think as a fan base, we've been giving them kind of a hard time just because they've been giving up, obviously not a lot of points, but it seemed like every time they were in the red zone defending, people were scoring because I think they were one of the last teams in the league in red zone defense. And it was nice to see them get a couple big stops today, and especially that on that goal line stop, and the Landon Roberts looked really good. And then I was very happy to see the offense today, especially in some clutch situations, because going into the half, you know, they weren't doing so hot for a little while, and then in the 2-minute offense, they were able to kick it back up, score, and then in the second half, they put their foot on the pedal and then didn't stop. And I think you really saw the team starting to kind of hit their stride as a whole today, and I was just really impressed with the defense, especially just because they were making me a little bit nervous at times because they weren't getting after the quarterback and they were giving up a lot of yards, I think. But it was great to see them get a few sacks, especially the safety by Hightower and him taking over the game. So I was really happy with that.
How worried are you? Because this is a constant problem. You know, we talk about week after week, whoever comes on the show, they bring it up. How worried are you when it comes to the Patriots and their pass rush? Because, you know, we saw early in the first half, Andy Dalton was having, you know, all day to find his guys down the field. And like I was saying, you know, coming into this game, Andy Dalton was probably the best quarterback that the Patriots are going to face to this point in the season. Now, next week, you take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe. And that right there, now you're talking about one of the top quarterbacks in the league in Ben Roethlisberger. And you take that with the fact that the Patriots can't ever get to the quarterback, how worried should we be? You know, as the Patriots face elite quarterbacks, whether it be during the course of the season, you know, we're expecting the Patriots to get to the postseason and, you know, the divisional game, wild card game, AFC championship game, whatever the case may be. How worried are you that this team can't really get the quarterbacks at all, pretty much?
For right now, I'm not overly worried just because I still think, although we're 6 weeks into the season, I don't think we're too far into it yet. I think we're just starting to see what they're capable of, and I think this week kind of helped me out a little bit. Although the Bengals' offensive line isn't too great, but it was nice to see them get in the face of Andy Dalton towards the second half and at other points in the game. Obviously, in the beginning, they were giving up a lot of yards, and they were giving them a lot of time, but it was nice to see them kind of hit their stride a little bit more and then start to get after him. But right now, I'm not overly worried. A little bit early in this season, and then I think with getting Rob Ninkovich back, I think that really helps because that adds versatility. It adds another guy to the rotation instead of just relying on Sheard and Long. Now you have Ninkovich to help you out. And I think another thing is that we saw a little bit more was adding Dante Hightower into the pass rush a little bit with blitzes and stuff like that. And I think this the defense really goes through Collins and Hightower. And when you see those two guys getting after the quarterback, when they're both going through the A-gaps, they cause a lot of disruption. And the Landon Roberts today where he had he really blew up into a – I think it was Jeremy Hill was trying to block him. He basically tackled him because he couldn't even block him. So I think this the pass rush, you just got to get a little creative with this team right now because they're not like the Broncos where you can just have DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller and just let them go after the quarterback. They'll wreak havoc. But you got to just be a little bit more creative with these guys and have them running stunts, have them running different twists and stunts and all that stuff. So I just think, you know, it's a little too early to get nervous right now. We've really only faced like Andy Dalton and Carson Palmer. So I think next week will be a big proving point in what this defense is capable of going up against the Steelers. So I think that's when we'll really start to see what they're made of.
Definitely. You brought it up. Next week is against the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, high-powered offense. And Mike was just saying how Patriots are staying fourth right now in defense and holding teams points per game. What was it, 14.8, Mike?
Yeah, 14.8.
And then they're 24th on defense in yards. So how do you think that will translate into next week against the Pittsburgh, who have a guy like Antonio Brown? They have Le'Veon Bell, and Big Ben is another great quarterback that they're going to face who can also break tackles. You know, we saw what happened a couple weeks ago when the Patriots had plenty of missed tackles as well. So it's going to be a huge challenge. But how do you think the Patriots' defense will fare up against Pittsburgh Steelers' offense?
That one, you know, that's where, like, I am kind of a little bit nervous because you have just so many weapons. And when you're in the red zone and you have that many options to throw to, it is a little nerve-wracking because how we've seen this defense play and give up the yards. But at the same time, they have only given up the fourth least amount of points. So, you know, to me, defense always wins. Defense wins championships. So I think they can put the clamps down. I think they can do what they're continuing to do and be tough in the red zone. And last year, he got burnt a little bit, but Malcolm Butler was really aggressive and really competitive with Antonio Brown. So I'm hoping that he can continue that from last year, what he did. And then I think you'll see a pretty good game out of the defense because, you know, I think you'll finally get – hopefully Collins comes back, and then you get the pass rush going after Ben Roethlisberger. Because the Steelers, their line isn't anything unbelievable, so I think you can really get after him with that. And so I think they'll fare pretty well in the red zone. That's how they've been doing. They've fared well against Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton, and those are good quarterbacks. So I think they've proved themselves a little bit here. But next week is when we really see what they're made of, and I think they'll be able to continue it. I think they'll be able to continue their success in giving up less points and only really holding teams like field goals.
Switching over to the offense a little bit now. Do you feel like Deion Lewis? Do you feel like James White is the real deal, and he's here to stick around and have a prominent role in this offense? I know Deion Lewis is coming back, and everybody's still, you know, kind of looking at what Deion Lewis did for the Patriots while he was healthy. But do you think that James White is going to, even when Deion Lewis returns, do you feel like they'll have to find a way for James White to be a heavy part of the offense moving forward?
Yeah, I think they definitely will try to incorporate him. I still think Deion Lewis is just unbelievable. And I think if you had to start one of them, you'd start Deion Lewis. But I feel like with those two guys and them and their size, they're not built for taking a lot of punishment. So I think you might get something that really works out when Deion Lewis comes back because you can switch them in and out a lot. And if you have both of them on the field at the same time, that would just be a matchup nightmare. But I think James White definitely has proven his worth. Especially today because I think he was great on just those little out routes coming out of the backfield and then immediately turning upfield. Like that's how he scored, I think, both of his touchdowns. So I was very impressed with that. And I think he really has earned a role on this team because he's not just doing enough or being kind of consistent and just grinding out yards and all that. He's starting to make some plays, and it's exciting, and it's important. So I think he's earned the role, and with Deion Lewis's health issues and his and ability to take punishment, I think you'll see James White be able to stay on the field because in order to keep Deion Lewis healthy, you can switch him in and out so neither of them are taking too much punishment.
Definitely. I definitely hear you on that. That is Charles Russick. Charles, thank you for calling in. You know, we'll hear from you next week when the Patriots take on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, man.
No problem. That's Charles Russick, Patriots beat staff writer on CLNS Radio. Once again, released every Friday a.m. So check him out. Check out Charles' work on clnsradio.com. Mike, I'm looking at my watch right now, and it's getting close to that time. You know what time it is, bro?
Oh, yeah. It's that time when we here on the Patriots post-game show get into the stars and sorries of the game. DJ Mees, the stars, it could have gone to anybody. There's a lot of people who performed well, but I posted the poll on Twitter, wanted to get their feedback on who, you know, who the Twitter world felt were the stars of the game from this Patriots versus Cincinnati Bengals matchup. And with the overwhelming percent of the vote, it went to the GOAT, the legend, the man, the greatest to ever do it. You already know who that is, DJ Mees.
Of course. Peyton Manning.
This guy, get me off the show. Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
I kid, I joke. Tom Brady, number 12, star of game. 29 for 35, 370 yards, 3 touchdowns. He hasn't lost a step. Just continued off from last week.
Absolutely. Tom Brady had a hell of a game. You also have to give an honorable mention to Rob Gronkowski. He had a solid game for the Patriots, finishing with 7 receptions, 162 yards, which is a career high, and a touchdown. And you also have to give an honorable mention to Dante Hightower as well, who finished the game with 13 tackles and had that sack in the end zone that led to the safety. But when there's the good DJ Mees,
there's the bad.
And when you're bad around these parts,
we tell you
sorry. So, you know, Cincinnati Bengals, in my opinion, suck. And I already knew they kind of sucked. But then you come into this game, they make that early mistake in the first quarter where on fourth and goal, instead of just getting the quick 3 points, they try to be slick in the Patriots' house and try to run some funny business and go for it on fourth down, and they fail. And then towards the end of the game, you got guys trying to start fights and ruffle some feathers and just try to mess with the Patriots and get under their skin and whatnot, knowing that they were going to lose and knowing that the game was not going in their favor. And maybe when they thought they had the Patriots on the ropes, you know, the Patriots and Tom Brady just turned up in the second half and took over and, you know, continued their dominance, leading to a Patriots win. But you know why I give them the biggest sorry, DJ Mees, the Cincinnati Bengals team? You want to know why?
Why? Why would you give them
the
sorry?
The Bengals of Cincinnati have not won a game in Gillette Stadium since 1986.
Wait. When?
The Bengals of Cincinnati have not won a game in Gillette Stadium. It wasn't even Gillette Stadium back then. It was, I don't even know what it, I forgot what it used to be called. Damn, I forgot what it used to be called. Whatever. The Bengals haven't beat the Patriots at home since 1986. I wasn't alive back then, DJ Mees.
No, neither was I.
And after all these years, no matter who's been quarterback, from Andy Dalton to Carson Palmer to Joe Kitner. I don't even know who the dummy quarterbacks that they've had because they never won anything. So it's been a dummy team. They haven't won a game since 1986. since 1986, D. Jimmy. You know what we tell you because of that stat right there?
We got to give them an extra for this one.
Cincinnati Bengals, you get a big fat sorry.
Yikes. My goodness. Since 1986? God,
yeah.
God damn.
And I'm telling you, and I say it again. I don't know how Marvin Lewis still has a job, but he better be thankful to the owner and the president and all of them in the front office. He better thank them and kiss some behinds every day, because I don't know how that man still has a job, because the team hasn't won anything, and they get eliminated in the first round or the wild card game every year, and anytime they make it, but. This season, it doesn't look like they're going to have much success again.
Definitely. But we got through Bengals. You know, Brady's homecoming game, finally home. The next week won't be no easy game. We travel to Pittsburgh to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 4-2, just got beaten by the Miami Dolphins. And this is going to be the game, Mike. This is the test right here, where I see where our team is at, where I start comparing, where we compare ourselves with the upper tier teams. I mean, they're no Seattle, they're no Vikings right now, I don't believe. But Pittsburgh is up there, I believe, in the AFC, and this is going to be a great battle, great test. We played them last year, first game of the season, beat their behinds, Gronk went off, and I see the same thing happening. I see another great game from Gronk, Bennett, Roethlisberger. You know, he's going to get his. I feel like Antonio Brown, he's going to get his. There's nobody that can cover Antonio Brown on the Patriots. No Logan Ryan, no, I don't even know, double coverage. It's going to be bad. McCourty, all those guys, good luck. Antonio Brown's a handful. You got Eli Rogers back, Sammy Colts, proven to be a good receiver as well. And then you got Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams in the backfield. So our defense is going to have their hands full. But yet, I still believe in Patriots offense and getting the W. I have the Patriots winning 35-27.
Let me get this straight. This is a home game or we're going to Pittsburgh? I forgot.
We're going to Pittsburgh.
Woo! Greg, in my opinion, Pittsburgh is the second best team in the AFC right behind the Patriots. But because we have Tom Brady and he's on a mission right now to just run through anybody that comes across his path, I'm going to go with a 30-27 New England Patriots.
Wow. Field goal? A field goal wins the game, Mike? With Gostkowski?
A field goal. I'm putting my hope and faith in Gostkowski possibly to maybe win the game, but a field goal might be what separates these two elite teams.
Wow. Mike Alonji, what's going on, bro? What do you see coming on with the Patriots and Pittsburgh Steelers next week, 4:25 at Pittsburgh?
Honestly, I mean, I don't know, guys. The thing about it is it could be one of two things. It could be if Ben Roethlisberger got hurt today. He's going to have an MRI on his knee today. So
that's true.
I mean, there's no guarantee, depending on, you know, how bad he's hurt, there's no guarantee that he can play, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be able to play effectively. So, I mean, if that's the case, the Patriots are blowing them out. The Patriots are going to win, you know, probably 31-17 or something like that. However, I'm not going to bank on that. I'm going to bank on Roethlisberger being in there. Like you said, nobody can cover Antonio Brown, not on the Patriots, not anywhere. Nobody can cover him. So there's that, and then Le'Veon Bell is Le'Veon Bell. He's going to get his. The Patriots have always kind of had issues with those guys who can maybe slip out of the backfield unnoticed and things like that. We saw Barkevious Mingo today get burned by Gio Bernard. We've seen Jamie Collins get burned on that same play 100 times. So, I mean, Le'Veon Bell could pull something like that, maybe have a big touchdown. All that being said, I'm going to pick the Patriots to win it still. I'm going to say 31-26, 5-point win for the Patriots.
We're all in the 30. We all expect Brady to put up some points against this Pittsburgh defense, which I don't believe is that great. Trust me, I had them on my fantasy, and they didn't really do much for me. But with Pittsburgh, you can score on this team. And at the end of the day, it's all about who can score the most points. And right now, New England is scoring out of their mind.
True, true, true. We'll just have to wait and see. It's going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be a marquee matchup. You're talking about two of the best teams in the AFC, teams that could possibly be in the AFC championship game. Who knows? But all eyes will be on this game next week to see who's really the elite in the AFC.
Yes. This post-game show will be available for on-demand download by searching for the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. When you download our feed, you'll also get the Patriots News Feed podcast, our daily news podcast hosted by our content manager, Michael Longy. While you're at it, make sure you check out the Patriots Beat podcast hosted by Harris Rubenstein, which is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. You can also check out Tyler Patriots pregame show video segments at youtube.com/CLNS Radio before every Patriots game. And be sure to check out Charles Russick's written work on the Patriots at CLNSradio.com. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel.com/Patriots. Casper mattresses. www.casper.com/Celtics. $50 off any mattress in Blue Apron. BlueApron.com/CelticsBeat for three free and free shipping. And lastly, MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code PATS. Want to thank our guests, today's callers, and everyone who tuned in. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Patriots Content Manager Michael Longy, my co-host, Mr. Mike Nice, I'm Marvin Zahn. See everyone back here next week when the Patriots take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, 4:25 p.m. at Pittsburgh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this, once again, has been the New England Patriots post-game show powered by CLNS Radio Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for all New England professional sports. We will see you next week.